Consumer Watch with Wendy Nolan on East Coast Breakfast.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Darren.
So, 1 percentage point. It's not, people mustn't get confused with that. It's not 1% up, it's 1 percentage point that VAT has gone up from 14 to 15%. First time it's gone up in 25 years. You'll remember the last time it went up.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just, no, some people remember. Some people have a good memory.
Us grown ups, yes.
And I don't remember there being as much fuss back then as there is now.
Well, I was too young to remember
that. Yeah, me too. It was in my periphery.
Yeah. But, look, I think with those of us who aren't on the breadline anyway, with every purchase we make, it's not going to have a huge impact, and whether we make it through the month or not. But accumulatively, yes, definitely. Because we're not going to just be paying more for the things we buy in the shops, but our debit orders, which come off our bank accounts, are going to go up as well. So in the past week or two, all of us who have debit orders will have received text and emails alerting us to increases effective from the 1st of April. And a lot of people, including East Coaster Sean Sefton, have been emailing me to question this. He says, I received a message from my car finance bank informing me of their intention to increase VAT as per National Treasury announcement. But since I bought my vehicle 2 years ago, does the contract I signed not set the VAT at 14% no matter what? And the only change to my payments would be with regards to the interest rate. And I think because it's been 25 years, Darren, a lot of people, this is the first time in their adult life that they've had contracts that this has happened. So I had to explain that, that extra percentage point doesn't go to the companies. It has to go to the government or SARS to be exact. But here's the thing. Companies are not forced to pass on the VAT increase to their customers. And some have chosen not to, including my long-term insurance company. So you mean a lot to us as a customer, and we're not putting it up. And I thought just as well, because it's just gone up by 15% anyway in the annual increase. But what it means for those companies who choose not to do that is less income for the same price because of the higher tax fraction that obviously has to go to the receiver. But here's the thing. Once a company has decided to keep its price the same as before the April 1 VAT increase, it cannot then charge its customers the higher VAT percentage later when it feels like it. So they're kind of stuck with that. But others have sent me examples of what they call piggybacking on this VAT increase, for saying, companies are now just taking advantage and sneaking in all sorts of quite hectic price increases around it.
And
so that's something to watch out for. Yeah, well, not saying it, but kind of knowing that consumers are going to be expecting things to go up. So they're just sort of sneaking something that's not going to go to the receiver in. Anyway, something to watch for. Staying with money matters, the Western Cape High Court handed down a major judgment early this month affecting many millions of South Africans who have steady incomes but are unbanked for a variety of reasons. And as I say, many, many people fall into this category. The National Credit Act was forbidding credit providers from granting credit to anyone who wasn't able to produce the good old 3 months bank statements as proof of income. So Truworth, the Fashini Group and the Mr. Price Group brought an application against the Minister of Trade and Industry as well as the National Credit Regulator, asking that the relevant regulation be stopped or scrapped, saying that it discriminated against the poorer and less privileged members of society because it was impossible for them to come up with those three months bank statements and therefore no access to credit.
So clearly these retailers want to be able to open a lot more accounts for those people.
That's
encourage more reckless lending.
That's a pretty has been quite a common response. Obviously, they did have a vested interest because they want to be able to have more people to open accounts for potentially. But the law firm which acted on behalf of those retailers say no, it's nothing about making credit easier or encouraging reckless lending. The credit providers will still be legally required to go through all the affordability assessments, but they will now be able to be more creative in what proof of income they will accept other than bank statements. So, for example, domestic worker would be able to go to employer and say, please, can you write me a letter and whatever, and that would suffice if they didn't have a bank account.
Okay.
And the judge used the example of a flower seller in Cape Town's Adderley Street who doesn't have a bank account but does have a reliable income and thus should be able to get credit to buy their child's school uniform, for example. So it's that sort of thing. And also many people I know through my work have closed their bank accounts as a means of stopping those rogue debit orders from stealing their money. For example, they just feel overwhelmed and close their account. But that doesn't mean that they aren't credit worthy. So this is a major consumer victory for that sector of the population who would otherwise be forced into the clutches of the notorious money lenders with their killer interest rates and their dodgy practices in many cases, such as holding onto consumers' IDs as a means of surety against the loan, which unbelievably is still quite rife. And lastly, on money matters, I want to talk a little bit about companies which charge their customers an extra fee if they choose to pay by credit card, despite it being illegal.
Ah.
And the biggest culprits are municipalities, really? Believe it or not, including Itigwini. But they may be forced to stop doing that quite soon.
How?
Well, you'll have to just hang on for a bit. I'll tell you in a little bit.
Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola on East Coast Breakfast.
So, Wendy, paying your municipal bills is a grudge payment anyway, and then if you pay by credit card, you get charged for paying with credit card as well. That just makes things worse.
It does. I mean, over the years, I've had many complaints from consumers who vehemently object to, well, paying, being made to pay an extra fee for using their credit card anywhere, but specifically when they go to pay their municipal bill. And get hit with a surcharge, which is anything between 3% and 5% for all merchants. The thing is, the merchants' agreement precludes them from passing that on to customers. We pay our own bank fees; we shouldn't pay theirs as well, right? In Itigwini's case, it's for any payments over 2,500 rand. I think in Cape Town municipality case, it's anything over 4,000. But it's contrary not only to the merchants' agreement they have with the banks, but with the CPA and as well as the Payments Association of South Africa, or PASA. Their rules prohibit it. Okay, so Itigwini calls their fee a full admin or bank charges fee. And in Durban, Tim Kinsey's case recently, it came as a surprise extra cost of 428 Rand when he paid a bill with his credit card via EasyPay at his local supermarket. That's quite a whack. So last week, listener Mark van Gelder shared with me a response that he got when he raised this with PASA, complaining about the Itigwini surcharge. And PASA told him, "We've taken up the matter of municipal surcharging on card transaction, which is not only contained to Itigwini municipality." In response, the municipalities refer to the Local Municipal Systems Act and say that that enables them to impose the surcharge. But we, the PASA Legal Committee, are of the opinion that that doesn't wash, basically. I won't go into the details. And PASA has now engaged with the National Treasury as the primary supervisor of municipalities in order to address this. And National Treasury is now doing has now launched an inquiry. So that's ongoing. I checked with PASA. That is, in fact, the case. PASA is saying they want to ensure that consumers who choose to pay with a credit card receive what they call fair treatment.
So in other words, they don't get illegally ripped off.
Yeah, you could say that. I ran this development past Itigwini's municipality's head of communications, Tozin Tetwa, who said Itigwini municipality has been levying the surcharge for over 10 years. This charge relates only to customers who pay at third-party points, such as EasyPay. We have not received any official correspondence from National Treasury on this matter.
Okay.
So I know that Cape Town and Joburg municipalities also do it. You can imagine the numbers involved, the sums, and undoubtedly many more. And you can bet that none of them will take too kindly to being instructed by Treasury to stop doing that. So this is definitely one to watch.
Okay. So, but they have to stop because it's wrong.
Yes. And it's wrong for any retailer. If you buy, if you pay with your card anywhere, they may not charge you extra for it. But it does still happen.
So watch the space.
And it shouldn't be happening in a government department
those
or government
institution. Those who set the example for the rest of us.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you,
Wendy. To be continued, yes.